So, on that happy note, so we have, what's this thing on the top? Oh, that's for the Indian program. Okay. So one thing is, before we start the school, I just want to mention, Chopra had to put a check here, and we've been raising money for COVID relief in both Mayapur and also in Bangladesh. In Bangladesh, some of you have heard that they had like extensive floods as well as the COVID problem there, and there's literally probably millions of devotees without sufficient food. And in Mayapur, they have food, but they don't have adequate medical supplies. So I've been asked to raise money for them, and we've achieved success. We're not raising money now. Don't any of you worry. We're not going to ask anyone here for money, because we've already actually raised the amount we were supposed to raise. And I won't tell you how much that was. But we raised the amount by the mercy of Chompa Latta and her friends. So we were able to contribute to the welfare of the devotees of Bangladesh and also in Sri Mayapur. Okay, so... Oh, I have to sign them. Sign, I'm not the professor. Right here, right? I'm the whatever I am. As they say, I am that I am. This is the founder and the namesake. Okay, I'm the reason that there's a school. Okay, so we have these wonderful students who attended the school, and we're going to give them certificates of achievement. So we're very proud of them, and many devotees are watching online right now, so they'll see this. And a lot of the devotees, the reason we don't have too many people here is a lot of people went to New Vrindavan for the Kirtan weekend. So normally this place would be packed. So the first one is a certificate of achievement for Ishwara Chaitanya Kuvitz. Did I turn up? For successful completion of ninth grade. And we applaud him for his humble introspection and surrendered devotional service. He's here every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning for the morning program. He has great sadhana. As they say, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Who's the apple? And who's the tree? The tree is the mother. What are you? You're one of the branches or what?
No, I'm the soil.
The soil, okay. You make sure the tree is nourished. That's good. No, actually it takes a village to raise a child, especially both the mother and father are actually very important. We're neither a matriarchal society or a patriarchal society. We are a spiritual society. We believe we are not the body. So, next one is Vanamali Shyam Prasad. Is Vanamali here? No. Oh, so let me put him back there. Next one is Sundari Radha. And she's successfully completed the 11th grade, and she's being applauded for her empathic outreach and dedicated devotional service. Congratulations. And then, the incarnation of a great devotee, who has his own YouTube channel, is preaching worldwide, and even YouTube couldn't believe that someone so young was so dynamic. So they made him, they took away his channel, and then he had to change to his spiritual name. Because he's underage. But they didn't believe it, that he was so dynamic and being so young. How old are you now?
11.
And how old were you when you took initiation?
10.
Amazing. Any chance? How many rounds every day? 16? How many verses in Bhagavad Gita do you know? 70? 70 verses in Bhagavad Gita. Okay, Dwaita Chandra, and he's also taken several high school level courses, and he has outreach and study initiatives in illuminating spiritual knowledge and wisdom. And he's completed the sixth grade, going on to his PhD program at Harvard next year. And is Vandamali coming, or?
I don't know.
She just texted
and
said they were coming.
Yeah, she said they were coming.
Or I can wait until he gets here.
Oh, I think that might be where we've got
Yeah.
Okay. Just in time. Okay. So we're very proud to give this final certificate to Vanamali Shyam Prasad, who has actually been very reliable, responsible, realized in Krishna consciousness, and enthusiastic to go to school. Most children, they don't want to go to school. Even Prabhupada didn't want to go to school. Prabhupada's mother had to hire someone to drag him to school every day, because otherwise he just wanted to stay home and play the mridanga. So Vanamali is just so enthusiastic. If he's a little late for school, he just harasses his mother and says, I want to go to school, I want to go to school. Isn't that true? He said, I don't want to be late because we have the best teacher in all the three worlds, Champakalata. So he's completed the 10th grade, and we're very proud that he's doing so well. So here's his certificate. Thank you very much. Vanamali Ki Jai. Okay, so I guess we'll start the class now, right? Also, Champaka Lata teaches dance. She's an expert dance teacher. In case Ishwar Chaitanya is interested in learning dance. I don't think so. In case anyone's interested in learning different, you know, spiritual dancing, then they can take lessons from her. And she has a whole troupe. She's doing education practically 24 hours a day online. She's teaching Bhakti Shastri course. And then at night, she's teaching dance to her whole troupe and drama to her whole troupe. And what else do you do? And then she edits my videos, like music videos, cooking videos in her spare time. And then she's editing my narrations on Vaishnava literatures, like the Ananda Vrindavan Champu and other literatures like that. So I don't know where she gets any time to do that. So. And we've known her since she's been a little girl, right? She went to school here. And she's a grandmother, right? Twice. A double grandmother. And her mother is a great-grandmother. And her mother is the famous Urmila, who is my mother, who raised me when I was a little kid. So anyway, on that happy note, today is a special day in the Vaishnava calendar. So I thought I would speak about the different things that occurred today. I mean, first of all, it's the disappearance day, the commemoration of the disappearance day of Baladeva Vijayabhushana. It's the appearance day of Gangamata Goswamini. And it's the celebration of the appearance of the Ganges. Amazing. So first we're going to chant the prayers of the departed Vaishnavas, which is in the songbook if anyone wants to get a copy of the songbook and follow along. It's on the last page. It's called Saparshana Gaura Viraha Vilapa. And I think I'll leave that air conditioning on while we're singing, because it's getting a little muggy in here. That one somehow or other went off. Okay, so you're invited to follow along. Near prema donna, corona prachur. Henu Prabhu Kutagela Acharya Taku. Kahamora Saru Rupa Kahasana Tahan Kakadasa Ragunatha Patita Pavan Kamora Bhatta Yuga Kaka Kavira Eka Kale Kota Kela Goranatara Pashane kutibo matta annale bache bogo Goranga gune rane de kota ke le pabo se sabat sangira sangge Ye koi no me hilas Se sangana paya kande Narata modas Jayanilo prema dana koruna prachur Jaya jaya takur Jaya Jaya Thakur, Jaya Jaya Thakur, Jaya Jaya Thakur. Hariva, 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 Hariva. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Paravritacharya, also Teda Siddha Shi, Shimad, His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chalanana Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anandakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Gijaya Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Gijaya Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadha Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gijaya Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopikopada Shayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Gijaya Vrindavanam Gijaya Maturadam Gijaya Jagannatha Swami Kajai, Yamunamai Kajai, Shimati Lasa Devi Kajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Purastaya Bhutale, Shimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namani Namaste, Saraswati Devi Gaurvani Pacharni, Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Dejatari, So Omaganat Timidandasha, Gananjana Shalagaya Chakshurun Meditam Yenitas Mai Shigurave Namaha. So, as I mentioned, today we are commemorating the disappearance day of Baladeva Vijayabhushana, who is a Vedanta Acharya. And we'll say a few words about him. It's the appearance day of Gangamata Goswamini, and it's the appearance day of the Ganges. So I don't know how I'm going to be able to cover all three topics by six, but I will try. So first we're going to start with Gangamata Goswamini. And this may come as a surprise to many of you. Gangamata Goswamini was a guru. And so Krishna consciousness is based on the soul. Everybody knows what a soul is? It's not a type of music, you know, soul music. A soul is the active spiritual force that is us. That's the real ego. The false ego is the identification with this other thing that we're walking around with. Our car, our body, our nationality, that's false ego. Real ego is the soul. And that soul is part and parcel of Krishna. So, therefore, in spiritual life, there is no discrimination insofar as the services that anybody can do, regardless of gender, regardless of nationality, regardless of age. For example, you have four little boys who are great acharyas. They're only 5 years old. Pretty good. The four Kumaras, Chatushana. You have a lady who's the head of a whole sampradaya. What's her name? Lakshmi. Pretty good, isn't it? You have someone else who has four heads who's the head of the whole sampradaya. Who's that? You have someone else who drinks poison who's the head of the sampradaya. Who's that? So, you know, there's a lot of variety. So you can see there's no discrimination. Wow. So, there are many Vaishnavi gurus in our sampradaya. Many. I mean, of course, there's more men. We understand that. But there's many ladies, too, who became gurus. And some of those ladies initiated men. Some of them initiated other ladies. And Gangamata Goswamini was one of those ladies. And her story is very similar in many ways to the story of Mirabai, which many of you are familiar with. And I'm not going to tell the story of Mirabai. But Gangamata Goswamini, here is a very interesting story about her. She was born in East Bengal, and her name was Sachi Devi. She was the daughter of a king of that particular province. And she always used to worship Krishna from the time she was 5 years old. This is a sign of a great devotee. That a great devotee, acharya, or acharini, in the case of a lady, is worshiping Krishna from the very time they're born or even before they were born. Does anyone know someone who was worshiping Krishna from before he was born? Who? Prahlad Maharaj. Who else? Shukadeva Goswami. Yeah. Shukadeva Goswami was so much doing worship, he didn't have time to come out until Krishna preached to him. So, anyway, so she was engaged in Krishna's service. She became so attached to Krishna. She was also very beautiful, learned Sanskrit and everything like that. And when her parents tried to pressure her to get married, what did she say? I'm already married. They said, what's wrong with you? And she said, I'm already married to Vrindavan, to Krishna. There's no need of another marriage. Can you imagine a little girl telling that to parents in India? That's pretty heavy, isn't it? If a girl tells that. So she says, I'm going to go to Vrindavan and meet my husband there. Little girl. So when she was just very, very young, just teenager, she left home. And remember, she's in East Bengal, all the way across India to Vrindavan. And she walked on foot, which is about 3,000 miles, maybe a little less. And there were no airplanes or modern conveniences to take her there. And she went to Vrindavan to meet her beloved. So she began searching all over Vrindavan for her beloved. Like the Goswamis of Vrindavan is described, Hey Radhe, Raja Devake, Hey Nanda Shuno Kuta, Oh Radharani, Oh Krishna, where are you? So she was chanting this, Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is he? Where is my husband? That is the lalyam that's necessary in order to achieve spiritual perfection. Lalyam means like greed. So normally in this world, we are greedy for what? Everything else. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. Give me a house by the sea. Make my wife nice to me. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. Please give a Tesla to me. So normally people are doing that. So as she was, but she had this greed for Krishna, which is the price of pure devotional service. And then she ran into this great devotee named Hari Das, who was actually a disciple or in the line of Srila Rupa Goswami. He was always chanting. And she said to him, I want to take initiation from you. Please give me initiation. Otherwise, I'm going to die. I want to be with Krishna. I want to serve Radha and Krishna. See this intense hankering that's necessary? Hearing this, he became very happy, and even though he never wanted to initiate anyone, he said, all right, you know, especially, you know, he's an older gentleman, and there's this young, beautiful girl, and, you know, what am I going to give her initiation for? Because people are going to criticize. But he gave her initiation, and he taught her how to chant, and he taught her to practice like Srila Rupa Goswami, and to see the guru, her guru, as a manifestation of Vishakha Devi or Rupa Manjari. Very exalted personality. I mean, normally, when we give initiation, we say, please just follow four regulated principles. Chant 16 rounds, you know. Rise early. We don't say anything about Rupa Goswami or Vishakha or Lalita or anything like that. But this is, she was on a different level of devotional service. So Haridas, he wanted to protect her, so he gave her the association of this old elderly lady, another disciple of his, and they went around Braj at that particular time, and she was always weeping for Krishna. She would chant 1 lakh of names a day. That means 100,000 names of Krishna a day. That doesn't mean 100,000 rounds, 100,000 names. And she was always absorbed. And she didn't have a bhajan kutir. And she just like stayed outside, basically. Sometimes she would live in a broken temple. on the near the Yamuna, which is near Kesi Ghat, and she would do a little madhukari every day. That means just collect a roti or chapati from each house, and it's described she would only take one quarter of the chapati, and even the whole chapati. She never accept any opulent food. She never wore nice clothing. She had no facilities at all, just some torn white cloth. And remember, she was from a very opulent family before. And this was very much reminiscent of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, who gave up all this aristocracy, as described by Srinivasacharya, in order to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they were just dressed in loincloths. So she became totally renounced, and when she was 25 years old, she was told by her guru to go to Radhakund and execute bhajan at the place of Raghunath Das Goswami. And for the next 25 years, in other words, until she was 50, she remained there. After this, her guru was getting ready to leave the planet, and he told her to go to Jagannath Puri, which is Neelachal, and chant near the Gambira of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Gambira is where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu resided. And then he said, you will become perfect doing this. Imagine, he didn't even consider her perfect at that time. And then you should discover the place of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and renovate that particular place, because the place of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was in disrepair at that particular time. So alone, because the elderly lady that she was with before had passed away, alone she proceeded all the way to Vrindavan on foot. I mean, not to Vrindavan, I'm sorry, Jagannath Puri, if it's at foot. Many, many, many days. And she went to the place of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and she became such a famous Vaishnavi there that every day she would give class on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically on certain sections like the Venu Gita, that means the flute section of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and other important subjects. And while she was giving class, tears would pour from her eyes like torrents of rain. So this is a sign of an actual advanced devotee. In fact, the Bhagavatam says that if one is chanting the holy names and doesn't feel his or her hair standing on end, and tears pouring from the eyes like torrents of rain, one's heart is certainly steel-framed. In other words, one is committing offenses, and sometimes devotees think, I've been cursed by Yamaraj because I'm not feeling these particular symptoms. Sometimes it's described that even the king of Puri would come to hear her classes in disguise. One day he offered her whatever she wanted. He said, I want to build you a hut. I want to give you a donation. And she said, I do not accept any donations or any place to live. So completely devoid of any desire for any material facilities, accoutrements, anything. She just wanted to be absorbed in the mood of separation from Radha and Krishna. So one day, it was the day called Makara Sankranti, which is the day that everybody goes to go bathe in the Ganges. And she wanted to go take a bath in the Ganges, but the Ganges was hundreds of miles away from Jagannath Puri. It's not there. So she was thinking, I want to go, but I can't leave. My guru told me never to leave Jagannath Puri. So what happened is in the middle of the night, the Ganges actually came to Jagannath Puri. It overflowed somehow or other, the Sveta Ganges. It came to Jagannath Puri, and it swept her away. Interesting. And it took her into the middle of the Jagannath temple in the middle of the night. So there she was after the Ganges receded. She was in the middle of the temple, and it was the middle of the night. So what happened is that the next morning, the pujari came to open up the temple, and he discovered that she was there. And he said, uh-oh. This lady is a dacoit, a thief, a gunda. Why else would someone be in the temple in the middle of the night? She wants to steal the jewels of the deities. Because in those days, they actually had real jewels, genuine gold, genuine diamonds, everything like that. So she was taken to jail. and put into the dungeon. In those days, the jail wasn't like nowadays. They have like tennis courts and swimming pools and everything like that. But it was a dungeon, you know, really dark, dreary dungeon. So she was in there for about a day, and then the next night, the king of Puri had a dream. And in that dream, Lord Jagannath was chastising the king. He said, "How could you do that? You put my devotee into prison like that. You should go and beg forgiveness and take her out and receive her on a chariot, a palanquin with drums and elephants. And then after that, you should become a disciple of the lady." So that's a pretty good recommendation from Lord Jagannath. "You should become a disciple along with all your priests and everybody else who's prominent in the kingdom." So the king woke up in the middle of the night, went to the jail with a golden chariot and with the crowds and other people, and gave her a royal reception. And he said to her, "Lord Jagannath has ordered me to take initiation from you. And he said, if I don't, he's going to finish my whole dynasty." So sometimes you find these threats that Krishna's just like playing with the devotees. He's saying, you know, if you don't do this, you know, you're finished if you don't take initiation. And so she said, "My guru told me never to give initiation. I don't want to make any disciples." And then Lord Jagannath appeared before her and said, "For me, to please me, you should make some disciples." And she accepted them. And then the king said, "I will give land so you could renovate the place of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya." Remember, that was her guru's instruction. So she renovated that place, and they made a temple there. And she was always living in the temple. Her whole heart was there. But the type of service she was doing was manasa seva. Manasi seva. So that means in the mind. She didn't have deities at that particular point. But there's an interesting story of how she got her deities. So one day, while she was giving her classes in Srimad Bhagavatam, remembering Krishna, a Brahmin from Jaipur came to see her. And that Brahmin had a deity, Raya Kishore. And the Brahmin said, "You have to take care of my deity now. Krishna wants you to take care of me, take care of him." And Krishna said to me, "You should take me to Puri and give me to Ganga Mata Gosamini. She will serve me. If you don't do this, I will curse you." It's interesting how you know, Krishna gives instructions that you better do it, you know. It's not that Krishna's just some like ogre, like cursing his devotees if they don't listen. These are pastimes where Krishna's joking with his devotees. Try to understand the mood. It's not threats like that. It's a joking pastime, like a sarcastic pastime. So he brought the deity to Ganga Mata Gosamini, and in a basket. It was a very beautiful little deity. And he gave the deity to her, and she said, "No, I'm doing manasa seva. So I cannot accept the deity. I'm doing this in the line of Srila Rupa Goswami. I have no time to worship or do any of these things." The brahmana was very worried. "What am I going to do? I'm going to be cursed by Krishna." And so what happened is the brahmana left the deity right next to the tulsi plant of Ganga Mata Gosamini in the middle of the night. And then the next day, the deity started speaking to Ganga Mata Gosamini in her dream. "You are neglecting me. I have come to your service, your love and affection. You are neglecting me. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. Please take me. Please prepare something and offer that to me." Then she went and found the deity there. She was charmed, took the deity in her arms. She brought him inside the temple and began to worship him. And that deity is still there. And when the king heard this, he was thinking, "I am so fortunate to be the disciple of this great devotee." So she's one of many ladies who are gurus in our Krishna consciousness movement, in our disciplic succession. Interesting, isn't it? So we are not chauvinistic. So anyway, Well, I think I'll get a chance to say everything. So now we're going to talk about Baladeva Vidyabhushana. I'm not going to be able to tell you everything about Baladeva Vidyabhushana, but he was born in Orissa in Baleshvara, which is right near Ramuna, where the Shira Chora Gopinath deity is. And he was born in a Vaishnava family. He studied Vedanta and other literatures, even studied the writings of Sripad Shankaracharya, but he wasn't interested in that. And then he went to Udupi, which is the place of Sripad Madhvacharya, and he studied all the commentaries there. And he actually took initiation in the Madhva Sampradaya like that, at that particular point. Then he went back to Puri, and he met Radha Damodar, who was a disciple of Rasikananda, and he surrendered to him. But he had already taken initiation, so he didn't take reinitiation. He actually kept his initiation in the Madhva Sampradaya. Of course, we were all in the Madhva Sampradaya anyway, the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. And he went to Vrindavan and studied under Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who was the great Acharya, the Rasa Acharya, who wrote many literatures about Krishna's intimate pastimes of Radha and, between Radha and Krishna. He studied the six sandarbhas, the Shat Sandarbhas, which were written by Śrīla Jīva Gosvāmī from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was what we call a Kshetra Sannyas. He didn't actually take the formal order of sannyas, but he actually took the vow to always remain in Vrindavan and serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then, one time, something very interesting happened. Jaipur, which is some distance from Vrindavan, about 4 or 5 hours by car, but they didn't have cars at that particular time, hosted the deities Radha Govinda. And the reason Radha Govinda, the deities of Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī, were there is that the Muslims had attacked Vrindavan, and they took the deities to Jaipur, and other deities were taken to Udaipur and other places in Rajasthan in order to protect them. So these deities of Radha Govinda were there, and they were being taken care of very nicely by the king and his brahmanas. But there were a group of brahmanas who were members, so to speak, of a particular sect of the Sri Sampradaya. They were called Ramanandis. And they didn't know about Radharani. And they thought, you know, Govinda, he's okay. That's funny. But his girlfriend? You know, God as a girlfriend? You know, we understand Rukmini Dwarkadish because they understood Sri, Boo, you know, that South Indian stuff. But they didn't understand God and Radha. You know, what's going on here? So they thought, you know, let's keep Govinda there. But Radha, she can be at a separate temple. So they began to worship just Govindaji. And so when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was in Vrindavan, heard about this, he was horrified. How can you separate Radha from Krishna? You can't separate Krishna from Radha or Radha from Krishna. They always have to be worshipped together. That's why we have Lakshmi Narayan, Lakshmi Nrisingadev. Lakshmi is always there in one of her various incarnations, or Radha in her various expansions, along with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he was thinking, what am I going to do? I got to convince these people that they're doing the wrong thing. So he thought, I can't go all the way to Jaipur because it's too long and I'm old. But my Siksha disciple will be able to go there. And, of course, that was Baladeva Vidyabhushana, his Siksha disciple. So he sent him to talk to these Ramanandis. So Baladeva Vidyabhushana began to talk to the Ramanandis, and he had a very interesting discussion, and he was able to convince them that it was wrong for them to separate Radha from Krishna. But they were convinced, but they didn't accept it. Because they said, you're not bona fide. Because your branch of the Sampradaya doesn't have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. I mean, you're arguing logically, yeah. We understand that. But logic is not enough to convince us, ultimately. Because even the Mahabharata says, Tarko Pratishta, Shuti Na Vimina. One cannot establish the absolute truth by logic. nor by even studying the Vedas, but only by Mahajanayana Gataya Sapanta. So you need to have a commentary. Where's your commentary on the Vedanta Sutra? Because that establishes a bona fide sampradaya or a branch of a bona fide sampradaya. Of course, the Madhva sampradaya already had it. But this particular branch, the Madhva Gaudiya sampradaya, didn't have a commentary except for the natural commentary, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam, written by the author of the Vedanta Sutra, who is Srila Vyasadeva. But they didn't like that one. They thought, no, you got to have your own commentary, a Gaudiya commentary. And of course, Vyasadeva's commentary is not a Gaudiya commentary, it's a non-sectarian commentary. So he said, okay, just give me a few days, we'll show you the commentary. And so, he meditated, went to the Govindaji deity, and the Govindaji deity, that is Govinda, he began to dictate within the heart of Baladeva Vijayabhushana the commentary. Baladeva Vijayabhushana, the Govinda Bhasha is called, Govinda's commentary. And he presented that to all these pundits. The pundits surrendered and said, wow, you won us over. Give us initiation. But he said, I'm not going to give you initiation because you're already initiated, but you can accept me as your Siksha Guru. In other words, there's no question of reinitiation once one is initiated in a bona fide sampradaya. Obviously, if you're initiated as a Shakta or something like that, then you can take initiation in a bona fide sampradaya. So Radha and Krishna, Radha and Govinda, were brought together again. Now, that's the exoteric story. The esoteric story is why these two deities were separated, Radha and Krishna, because they had a fight. Radharani is a left-handed gopi. That means she talks back to Krishna. Phew. Don't try that at home. But Krishna likes that because it spices up the relationship more. And there's right-handed gopis like Chandravali. We have one of Chandravali's servants here, not here in the temple right now. Like Chandravali, who's very submissive to Krishna. She may get disturbed, but she doesn't like let Krishna have it. Whereas Radharani, she lets Krishna have it, and her friends like Lalita, who's very hot-tempered too, they actually threaten Krishna and say, don't you ever come near our friend Radharani again. And then Krishna has to put on so many guises to get close to Radharani. I mean, Krishna has to dress up sometimes like as a woman. Sometimes he has to dress up like, you know, like a Brahmin fortune teller. You know, so many stories of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur tells. So the actual reason the two deities were separated was that they had a quarrel. A lover's quarrel. And that's a spicy relationship. Because otherwise it's boring. Like if you're with someone and yes, like if the wife always agrees with the husband. I know you ladies are going to like this talk. If the wife always agrees with the husband, it's boring. Yes, dear, whatever you say, dear. We'll do whatever you say, dear. It's boring. Because yeah, everybody should have their own mind. We're not supposed to be little zombies or robots or anything like that. But of course, within etiquette. Within etiquette. Of course, the wife is always called by a specific name, Priya, and the husband is called Prabhu or Swami or Pati. Sorry about that. Pati Dave. One time I was traveling with a man who had just gotten married. And this was before most people had email. I was the first one to have email. And I had to actually receive all the letters that his wife was sending. And these letters were always like, Dear Pati Dave, Dear Pati Dave. And I said to him, I said, I'm getting all these Pati Dave letters. And I'm not Putty, you're the Putty. So anyways, interesting story. Of course, you may ask, why is a sannyasi taking a husband away right after he gets married? That's another story which I won't tell you right now. So Baladeva Vijayabhushan when after this he established the five tattvas that we talk about in the Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, and Karma. That means the Supreme Lord, the Jiva soul, the individual Jiva soul, material energy, time, and karma, as these tattvas that are discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. And his samadhi is behind the Radha Shyama Sundara temple in Vrindavan. And, there's a lot more information, but I think we want to speak a little bit about the appearance of the Ganges. Boy, we're moving at top speed today. So here's the story about the appearance of the Ganges. Of course, you know the Ganges River comes into this world because of this nice personality of Godhead who kicked a hole in the universe. What was the name of that personality of Godhead? Lord Vamanadeva. He kicked a hole as he was taking away everything from Bali Maharaj. So that's how he came into the universe. But we're going to talk about how the Ganges came down to the Earth planet. So it's a very interesting story that we're going to try to tell in a few seconds. So once upon a time, there was a king named King Bahuka. And he died, and he left many widows. Only one of his wives was pregnant. And the other wives, they thought, you know, we don't want this wife or our co-wife to give birth to a kid, and we don't have any kids. So they gave her poison. And she still gave birth to a kid. And that kid's name was Sagara, which means born with poison. And this Sagara had two wives, Sumati and Keshini. And Sumati had 60,000 sons. Don't ask me how that's possible. And they were quite offensive creeps. Very, very offensive. I mean, sometimes some of these things appear like amazing, all these different numbers and everything like that. Well, the Lord's creation is amazing. Actually, if you look inside each and every cell in your body, you will find more complexity than you will find in the whole city of New York on the macrocosmic scale. So there's things happening that we're just not capable of understanding on different levels, different dimensional reality, etc., like that. So it's a lot we don't understand. We don't even understand. Scientists have not fully even explored the ocean, what to speak of outer space. So, anyway. So, this King Sagara decided to do a horse sacrifice. Nothing wrong with a horse sacrifice, but Indra doesn't like this. So, Indra stole the horses, and King Sagara sent his 60,000 sons to look for the horses. And they were digging holes all over the place and going all over the ocean bed. They were quite powerful. And they found the horses right in the ashram of Lord Kapiladeva. And they thought, oh, he has stolen the horses. And they were getting ready to attack Lord Kapiladeva. But because of their envy, you know how envy burns you? Sometimes when you're really envious of someone, their envy just like caused them to self-immolate. So instant cremation. Instant cremation. So still the horses were there. So there was another son by the other wife of Sagara, whose name was Asamanjana, who was sent to look for the horses, but he really wasn't a nice guy. Well, he was a nice guy, but he killed all of his friends. But he was such a mystic, he brought him back to life because he just wanted to get out of there, you know. He wasn't into rituals. Sometimes you find these personalities in the Vedic literature that aren't into rituals, so they act crazy. They'll do things that are just like unbelievable, like Jadabhart or Rishabhadeva, just to get detached from the world so nobody will harass them. Or like Gorkhashoda's Babaji Maharaj, who chanted it in a latrine. So they know, you know, who's going to go and bother you if you're chanting your japa in a latrine, right? So, you know, sometimes devotees do that because, you know, you're surrounded by people who are always asking you for blessings. I know every time I walk to the temple, everyone asks me for blessings. And I say, I'm trying to give class. Just give me blessings for a small rush. Hashivat, 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 Hashivat. So, anyway, so his father banished him, and then he had a son who was actually a good guy, who was known Anksuman. He found the horse, prayed to Lord Kapilade, brought the horse back, and Garuda happened to be there, the bird carrier, the Supreme Personality of God, and he advised Anksuman, if you want to save all your your uncles, then you should bring the Ganges here. So Anksuman, he executed austerities, was not successful. His son, Dilipa, executed austerities, he wasn't successful. What's that? What is in your hand? No. He executed austerities, and then Dilipa had a son named Bhagirath. And Bhagirath executed austerities for 1,000 years to bring down the Ganges so all the sons of Sagara would be actually free, the 60,000 sons that were burned to a crisp. So the Ganges appeared finally to Bhagirath, and she said, I can come down, but I have some objections. One objection is, you know, this is a big objection, that I'm so forceful I'm going to split the Earth planet in two. The other objection is, people will come to bathe in me and they're going to just dump up all their karma on me. Because people go to the Ganges just to get rid of their karma. You know, they kill someone, they go to the Ganges. Even sometimes people circumambulate Tulsi for the same reason. Yani kani chapapani brahmaha chari kani cha tani tani prasanti parakshina padevade. Isn't it? Just by circumambulating Tulsi, you become free from the karma of killing a Brahmin. Wow. Don't try that. Don't try because it doesn't work. If you do it deliberately, it's not going to work. So then Bhagirath answered this objection by the Ganga Devi, and he said, Lord Shiva will break your fall. I'll have to execute austerities to please Lord Shiva. And he'll break your fall. And as far as you're worrying about all the rascals who are going to bathe in you, also the great saints will bathe in you and they'll purify you. Because it's described in the Bhagavatam, Swardunapo Nusebhya, that actually the little association with the saint is more purifying than repeated bathings in the Ganges River. So that's really important. So Ganges agrees. So Bhagirath engages in austerities to please Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is pleased. Ganga comes down, and she lands on Lord Shiva's head, and he thinks, you know, she's just too proud. And to break her pride, he actually stops her with his mystic power until Bhagirath prays again, and then he lets her out. And 7 streams come from her, and Bhagirath drives his chariot before these streams. And there's one sage who is extremely angry that the Ganges is just like getting ready to flood his ashram. I mean, you can imagine there's this big wall of water coming at you. And he's a great mystic, so he's able to absorb the Ganges. He's such a great, powerful mystic. And then he lets the Ganges out. And therefore, the Ganges is also called Janavi, which means the daughter of Janu. And so then the water keeps flowing and the sons of Sagara are saved and they go to heaven. Wow. Pretty easy way to go to heaven. Just get some Ganges water. Actually, it's described sometimes that if one sees someone who is sinful, one should immediately go bathing in the Ganges without even taking the trouble to put your swimming suit on. And so what do we do? If we're going out, let's say we're going to Walmart or something, and there's no Ganges around, well, you take a little spray bottle with you. And actually, Prabhupada's sister did that. Pishima. She's always had a spray bottle of Ganges water with her. And she would always spray wherever she went. And it's wonderful. I mean, it's very devotional. I don't know how practical it is, but it's actually quite devotional. And so anyway, so the source of the Ganges on the earth, the Ganges comes from Gomukh, which means the mouth of a cow. And it's in the Bhagirath Glacier, which is 14,000 feet above sea level. So that is the appearance of the Ganges. So we covered all three topics today. Any questions or comments? We did it all within an hour. Questions? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it destroys your devotional service if you study Shankaracharya. Well, devotees study it with the idea of counteracting it. It depends on, it says specifically if you take to the understanding, if you look at the Sanskrit, it's not just studying it, you take to the understanding of the Shankaracharya's commentary. Like one of my godbrothers, Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, studied the Sharirakyabhash in order to address certain things because he was translating Jiva Goswami's Shatsandarvas. So for Vaishnava, sometimes it's necessary to know your opposition. But not, if one takes to the understanding, takes it into their heart, that's quite dangerous. So that's why he did that. And for advanced devotees who were dealing in philosophy, it may be necessary in certain cases to understand it. I mean, at least we have to know what impersonalism is and the faults of Shankaracharya's philosophy. Actually, the main fault of Shankaracharya's philosophy is pretty easy. You don't have to study the whole Sharirakyabhasha. When we're talking about impersonalism, not voidism, which is Buddhism is something different. When we're talking about impersonalism, the concept is that ultimately everything is Brahman or undifferentiated energy, right? Undifferentiated energy. Brahman actually means the best of the highest. That's what the word means. So their concept is the undifferentiated energy is the truth. Brahma Satya Jagat Nitya. This material world is what? False. Brahman is truth. Well, the fault in their particular understanding is, let's say you have this undifferentiated Brahman, which is supposed to be the greatest. How did undifferentiated Brahman fall into illusion, Vivarta? Then you must have a third force, or second force, that puts the Brahman into illusion. And that force that put the Brahman into illusion must be more powerful than Brahman, because if it can act and make undifferentiated Brahman think that it's differentiated, you follow what I'm saying? That means it is actually Brahman. So illusion is Brahman. You know, that's one fault. And then they also talk about Brahman Parinam, which means Brahman becomes transformed. But then if Brahman could be transformed, the same thing. What is transforming Brahman? So you got the two problems with their philosophy, which is, you know, Vivarta, Brahman is either an illusion or it's transformed. And so that means that some other force is acting on Brahman, which they do not explain, and Shankaracharya doesn't explain. So that's the main fallacy. So you don't really need to study the Sharirakyabhasha to understand that. I mean, I could easily deal with an impersonalist and deal with them in that particular way. You know, explain to me how this Brahman became differentiated, or how come Brahman is an illusion? Right? How come? What acted upon it? So, therefore, and another point, you know, with impersonalism, modern-day impersonalists, one of their main objections is that if you say the absolute truth is a person, doesn't that limit him? Isn't that, that's one of the objections impersonalists have. Well, we say the absolute truth is a person, and the absolute truth also has an impersonal aspect. So if you just have one of the two, that's limitation. If you just say the absolute truth is a person, and he doesn't have maya tatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina, an unlimited aspect, then he's limited. Or if you say he's just has an unlimited aspect, but he has another person, you're taking something away from him, so he could not be complete. And we know from the Isopanishad, Om Purnamada Purnamidam, that the Supreme Lord is perfectly complete, and even though he has all these energies and emanations come from him that are also perfectly complete, he never becomes diminished in any way. He remains perfectly complete and the complete whole. Anyway, so that's Shankaracharya, defeating Shankaracharya's philosophy in 10 seconds or less. In case you want to do that, you know. You know, plus, you cannot become detached from this world. As far as practice is concerned, how can you actually become detached from something because your nature is to be attached? You know, people talk about being... I mean, let's take Buddhism, for example, where you're supposed to just, like, think of nothing. Okay, I'm trying to think of nothing. Oh, great, I'm thinking of nothing. But you're thinking of nothing, so you're actually thinking of something. You can't get away from it. Even if you're attached to being detached, that's an attachment. Isn't it? Yeah, I'm proud that I'm really detached. No one is more detached than me from this world. So how do you get away from attachment? I'm attached to liberation. That's an attachment. You get away from attachment, material attachment, self-centered attachment, bhukti mukti siddhi kam sakale shanta, by being attached to someone spiritual. And we have need for loving relationships. And that loving relationship is with Krishna, and also Krishna's devotees and Krishna's parts and parcels. Then yayatma supersedati. Bhukti mukti siddhi kam sakale shanta Krishna bhakta nishkam ateva shanta. If one wants gross gratification, you know, a new car, a new house, that's one thing. Or if one wants subtle liberation, or one wants power. Just like there was a politician whose name shall remain nameless, he shall remain nameless, who's really into power and he's really upset that he lost power during the last election. That city, power. Wow. The dark side of the... Oh, sorry about that. It's the wrong movie. So, people are attached to power. Power corrupts absolute, power corrupts absolutely. And so when one wants these things, ashanta, one is not peaceful. But if one is in love with Krishna, then you're automatically detached from everything. Just like an ordinary person who's in love in this material world doesn't really worry about how they're going to support their family later on. That's why usually it's good for people to have cool heads when they get married, which is very hard. Because people who fall in love, they don't think, where's the money going to come from? Where are the diapers going to come from? But, you know, just... So anyway, so when one is... Sorry. When one is... complaint from my phone. So when one is in love with Krishna, one just like this... Sachi we were talking about, Gangamata Goswamini. She wasn't worried. Raghunath Das Goswami wasn't worried. He didn't even build himself a kutir until he was forced to do it by Sanatan Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami was just chanting out there. There were tigers out there. It was a hot sun. Of course, Krishna was so kind. He was shielding him from the tiger. You know, he had a stick in his hand, and Radharani was shielding him from the hot sun. Finally, Sanatan Goswami said, you know, you better build yourself a kutir. You're not supposed to take service from Radha and Krishna. But someone who's madly in love with Krishna, you know, like, hey, Radha, hey, Brajadeva, hey, Nanda, Shuno Kuta, then... you're detached, right? You're detached. Like you see, Prabhupada, in the final days, Prabhupada was dictating his Bhaktivedanta purports from his bed because he was, the body was just skin and bones. Any of us, you know, practically any of us, all of us, we'd be in extreme pain. We'd be just crying out, where's the morphine? You know, oh, I'm in pain. I mean, I know... me, I get a little toothache and it's just like, oh, I want my mommy. Not really. And, you know, not really. Not that bad. Anyway, so sympathy or something like that. Empathy. So, but Prabhupada was like that, you know, leaving this world, and he was dictating. He couldn't even hold a microphone. Someone else had to hold the microphone. And he was so detached from that situation. Can you imagine in such a situation being so detached? Because he was in love with Krishna. Dedicated. Vyavasayatmakabhutiya ekeha kuru nandana. So, on that happy note, I don't want to scare anyone. But the Krishna consciousness is like that. You just love Krishna. Don't worry about getting detached from this world. People worry about all these things. How am I going to get detached? How am I going to figure out I'm not the body? Well, don't figure out you're not the body. Figure out what you are. That's the Mayavad philosophy, impersonalist, to always be saying, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not the body. I'm not American, I'm not white, I'm not black, I'm not male, I'm not female. And then the psychiatrist comes and says, you have trouble here, buddy. This is called disassociation. No, they'll figure out what you're not. Figure out what you are. And then automatically the knots will be there. Not the K-N-O-T-S. The N-O-T-S will be there. If you just figure out what you are, then you'll be so happy and nothing will bother you. Like Haridas Thakur, he was chanting the holy names and Maya Devi herself came. And she tried to attract Haridas Thakur, right? And he just went, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I'll give you initiation. And then, that's amazing, isn't it? Okay, I think we have to end now. That's our quota of today. Oh, someone's giving me blessings. A mother who is in Hawaii is giving me blessings. So this mother, one of your disciples, is blessing you to always be a servant of Prabhupada. Wow. Got some blessings even on my phone, even on my watch. Okay. I think we'll end now and we have prasadam for everybody. Okay. And a lot of devotees are gone this weekend, gone to New Vrindavan for the kirtan. Aditya Narayan Prabhu will be back next. Oh, yeah. Announcement. Next weekend, next Sunday, we have Panihati, which is the chip rice festival. There'll be opportunities for sponsoring different pots of chip rice and yogurt and condensed milk and bananas, champakad bananas, not champakalata, but chukup bananas. It's a particular type of bananas. And all sorts of interesting things will be there next week. So we invite you all to come. I won't be here next week. I'm going to be on my European tour next week. We have some retreats with some disciples in Slovenia, and then we're going to Germany after that. And I'll be back in 2 weeks. So it's very nice to be here. And everyone stay safe. All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Gauranga. We want to welcome Divya Nitai Leela back from India. She came back. Well, she was in isolation first. Don't worry. 2 weeks. So thank God you're back safely. Yeah. Let me just end this thing. Help. Let me just end.